there
for a long time. Now, also about Ocean City, Maryland. Mm-hmm. I have a comment to make about a commercial that I heard. And I don't want to offend any sponsors of our show down there, and because we're on there. And I don't even know if I heard this commercial on our Ocean City station or not.
Right.
But there's a place called the Bonjour Cafe.
Bonjour.
Okay, and they have a jingle that I heard all weekend long. Mm-hmm. La, 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 bonjour, taste of France, bonjour, bonjour. So one time I actually listened to the stupid commercial, okay? Mm-hmm. And here's what it says. A taste of France, bonjour, bonjour. And then they say, come down and have our stromboli, our calzone, and our pizza. Uh-huh. Great fries and subs. And then they go, a taste of France, la, 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 la.
I understand where you're going with this.
And this really agitated me for the better part of the weekend. Every time the commercial would come on the radio, I would look at my wife and I would go, they don't have anything from France. They're selling Italian foods.
I mean, stromboli and calzone.
Calzone and pizza and fries and subs and grilled cheese sandwiches.
No croissant?
Mm-mm.
Well, they had French fries, right?
Ooh, they're not really from France, though.
Oh, sorry.
Ooh, la, la, bonjour, bonjour. Anyway,
that's right. If they were from France, they'd be called pommes frites.
Maybe somebody in quality control there at the station in Ocean City can find out what's doing with that.
Yeah. Taste of France, bonjour.
I got so mad all weekend.
That's something they just obviously they ran quite a schedule because you heard it again and again and again.
Yeah, well, you know, they run commercials down there. I mean, if you folks think we run a lot of commercials on our show,
right,
go and listen to some of these little beach stations where they got to run like 25 minutes of spots an hour.
I buy the beach, yeah, bad Billy Water, BBW with the Bonjour Cafe.
Now listen, I heard him on our station, but I've got a tape of a disc jockey who I believe deserves some merit in the bad DJ competition.
Is this the guy you were talking about last Thursday?
Guy that I was talking about from last weekend at OC. Somebody sent me a tape of his. Can we rack that up now, Charlie? Because I might want to hear that. I only got a couple more things I want to talk about.
This is Greg Brady?
Yeah, that's right. I saw the movie Contact. My wife and I went to see Contact yesterday. P. U.
Ooh,
I want to tell you something. Now, I didn't go into this expecting Men in Black. Right. I didn't go into it expecting Star Trek. I know this is supposed to be a, quote, intellectual science fiction movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But please, I would rather have someone poke a stick in my eye for 2.5 hours than sit and watch this slow-moving, haughty, pretentious piece of holier-than-thou crap. Don't waste your time.
Really?
Really?
You're not alone. It's gotten some terrible reviews.
I could not have been more disappointed. I checked my watch. The perfect indication. 10 minutes into the movie.
Larry liked it. Larry King loved it.
Well, it's because he's in it. And that's the other thing. That's the other thing that really bothered me about this movie. I don't mind if you have Larry King do a cameo.
Right.
Because he's Larry King. He's a frog. Nobody takes him seriously. Mm-hmm. I don't even mind maybe if you have Bernard Shaw.
Bernie.
Do a quick little thing. This is like a commercial for CNN. They had every single news guy and news girl from CNN, even... Who's that one that's got the...
Bobby Batista?
Yeah, the crazy eye.
Bobby mm-hmm. Batista.
She was in that?
Really?
You know the guy that... Lyndon Sorrell or whatever? You know the guy that we've liked, the young Ted Baxter?
Alien head. The guy with the incredibly, perfectly square head and a fabulous tan.
He was in there. And Buzz, I will say this. Yes? I thought of you.
Really?
Because at one point, I leaned over to my wife and I said, you know, there's so many CNN people in this movie, it really ruins their credibility.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that I can watch CNN. They did such a great job, and I mean with all the graphics and with CNN breaking news.
Made it seem like a real news story.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't care for the
movie. Lynn Russell in it?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
Lynn Russell had one of her rough weekends.
Listen, I think more and more that I don't know what we were thinking about with Lynn Russell, because she's been looking pretty hagged out on headline news recently.
Lynn Russell, I don't know whether she just shows up at the set right from the gym or what's going on, but of late, Things are becoming very strange.
She shouldn't wear glasses to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I've seen her, she doesn't wear her hair in braids, but it's almost like she has like little pigtails coming off the side.
Yeah, and they're not intentional either, which is very, very disturbing. I'm expecting to see some kind of like prairie dog come out of the back of her head.
Was just your CNN highfalutin regulars who were there. Uh-huh. But they had them all. They had the guys that do the Capital Gang show.
Wow.
And they also took, if I was Clinton, I'd be pissed about this. How are you?
Ah, hello.
They took a bunch of footage from him talking about, I guess, when we originally landed on Mars or when it was something
That's
we've
right.
done recently.
Mm-hmm.
They took all of this stuff out of context with him
mm-hmm.
and put it into the movie. And I figured out, I didn't know that the idiot that did Forrest Gump,
yes,
a movie that I hated. Sorry, I hate everything. It's my outlook on life. But his whole thing with Forrest Gump was putting Gump into those crazy situations and making like fake TV shots.
Right. You and I agreed on that movie, Forrest Gump, because we didn't, you know, everybody was going wowsy woo woo about the technology of that. And you and I, we were not impressed.
Now, Robert Zemeckis, the filmmaker you're referring to.
Bobby Z. Yeah. Same thing that he does in this. He does a lot of stuff where he's got Clinton sitting at a table and, you know, suddenly there's James Woods right next to him. Yeah. P.U. Listen, you're probably going to waste your own $7 on it, but I'm telling you right now, it ain't nothing.
Well, that's a shame.
It ain't nothing but a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw a boxer on television. Now, what is this guy's name? Is it Butterball?
Butterbean.
Butterbean.
Right, Butterbean.
He is the funniest.
Oh, he's fantastic.
I've not seen him box.
Butterbean is that? Well, he's a performer wrestler. Didn't we have Butterbean on the show?
Mm-mm.
We never had Butterbean on this show?
Not live in the studio.
Not live in the studio. We might have had him on the phone one time.
I watched that guy. I just want to keep my eye on him. Yeah. Butterbean.
Butterbean. They're talking about perhaps... as lofty a goal as when the suspension's over, fighting Mike Tyson.
Wow.
Butterbean fighting Mike Tyson.
I would pay to see that.
Yeah.
Of course, I would pay to see Butterbean just sit down and eat a plate of ribs or eat or just watch him go through his daily function. The guy is, let me describe it, the guy's huge. The guy's like 6'7", and he weighs like 1,000,000 pounds, and he's bald.
Right.
He's a combination like of Charlie Stewang Stabilak and Uncle Fester from the Addams Family.
Wow. Yeah, and he is hot. He is the hottest thing in sports right now.
And he's got one of those big waistbands on his boxing trunks that says Butterbean on it.
Butterbean. And I think that, you know, they kind of give him that name because he's kind of a soft guy, but he's really tough.
Yeah. So I logged some time with him, and I'm going to have to find out more about him. And I also read a book over the weekend, and I don't want to get very serious on this show, but I read a book called Conversations with God. Has anybody seen this book in the bestseller lists?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Guy has written the book. Guy claims that he one day was sitting there writing a bunch of questions like, why are we here? And then God came and answered all of his questions. So this is a book that caught my eye. And I think it's one of these junky New Age books, you know, like, what's his name, like Deep Space Nine, like Oprah Deep Space Nine writes.
Deepak Chopra, right?
That's him. But I bought the book anyway, and maybe at some point, we're running out of time. I don't have time to tell you exactly all the things that I didn't like about it. First off, I don't buy this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it, how pretentious this guy is. This guy in this book, first off, he writes, some things I agree with and some things I don't. He writes that God has a sense of humor, that no matter how many mistakes you make in life, no matter how many of the commandments that you break, it doesn't matter because you're going to go to heaven anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would God put you on this earth and give you a choice if he didn't know that some people were going to make the wrong choice? So I'm reading this and I'm going back and forth and I'm wondering, how do I feel about it? And then I realize that I have skipped past the introduction, right? So I go back, I'm about 70 pages into the book, and this is where the guy loses any credibility. He dedicates the book to John Denver.
Because, thank God I'm a country boy.
Because John Denver's music meant so much to this guy.
You fill up my center.
P.U. But I'm open to discuss that book at some point, because the guy writes all kinds of crazy stuff, like like God is sitting right there with him and answering the many questions that he had.
Were there moments that you say there were moments that you agreed with, too? Were there pretty heavy-duty moments in this
book? Well, no, it was all light stuff, like God having a sense of humor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where God says, of course I have a sense of humor.
Yeah, well, look at
Rob A. He says, I invented humor.
Sure, I mean, he made Curly of the Three Stooges.
Yeah. But there's a lot of the stuff where he refers to himself as me, and some stuff is capitalized, and it's just... It's a weird book. It made me feel weird. It's one of two things. Either this guy's totally on the level and right. somehow he was overcome by the Spirit of God, or, you know, this guy's going straight to hell. And that's the other thing that's in this book.
Right.
God says, don't worry about it. There is no such thing as hell.
So there's no point in, you know, going by the commandments or anything
right.
like that.
So, you know, I say to you, hey, loot, pillage, steal, fornicate with your neighbors.
Well, like anything
lie,
like that.
Lie, cheat, steal.
Before I buy anything he says, I'm going to have to consult with Dion Warwick on the Psychic Friends Network.
So I'll be willing to talk about that book at some point. And I think that's it. Oh, and also I had the thrill today. I just want to mention thrill of negotiating a contract for our show.
There you go. And nobody does it better.
With Alan Goodman.
Oh. Hello, D. Hello, Alan.
So I think I'm a little premature there announcing that we're going to be on one of Alan's stations, but... I just want to set the plate to say that if Al signs the deal and comes on board, we will be able to treat him the way that we've treated him in the past.
Yes, we will. That will be legal to have Alan Goodman make his triumphant return to this program. And I know that Ken Stevens will be breathing a sigh of relief when that happens.
And he's the same. Just let me say, I know Alan's listening on the satellite feed today.
Sure.
Alan, we could have had this deal done a month ago if you would have, you know, it's like this. It's like selling a used car to him where you know you've got a price and he keeps saying, well, never mind. It's because it's long. It's long, and it's. I say, how about this? And he says, no, forget it. And then I say, okay, forget it. And I go away on vacation, and then he's calling every single day.
You would think that after years and years and years, a man might change just a little bit, but no, he hasn't changed a bit.
So I called him back today, and right away, again, he wants to lowball me first thing out. You know, hey, I can't afford you, Dean. I can't. I'm paying for John Boy and Billy. Oh, come on, Al. Give me a break. So I think we got a deal worked out.
Well, but, you know, the greatest thing of all, if we do work this out with Alan Goodman, we'll be having Alan back on the show and abusing him and finding out all about him like we used to.
Won't that be great?
Yeah. Hello, Alan.
Hello, D. Hello, Am. Now, listen, very quickly, I'll blow through these calls, and then I want to hear about your weekend, your first weekend with the new baby.
Yes, brought the baby home this weekend.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. How are you?
Hi, we're great. Thank you.
Good. My name's Tasty. I'm calling from Washington, D.C., and I was actually calling about contact. I saw that on Friday, and
yes.
I didn't think it was as bad as you did, Don, but it was...
All right. See the new policy.
That's the new policy as far as disagreeing.
Agree with me, or I'll set you free. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Mike.
Hi there.
You guys are great.
Thank you. Where are you calling from?
Sacramento.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Where the audience applauded contact.
Well, what did you go to, a handicap showing?
Well, you know, I was sort of curious. Did anyone respond other than yourself to the movie? I, by the way, also loved the movie. I think that, you know.
The audience that my wife and I saw with, nobody clapped. Nobody had a violent demonstration otherwise.
Was there, is there some significant part of the movie where people are supposed to clap?
When
it was actually at the very end, you know, when the credits came up. And I think it's a pretty strange thing to do because we're talking Sacramento, so none of the filmmakers were actually in the audience. So even though I loved the movie, I wasn't going to clap.
Don, this guy's disagreeing with you.
Well, I was trying, I know I should have hung up on him, but I was trying to figure out exactly what he was talking about.
He's saying the movie, it was so popular that when he went to see it, that people clapped.
But where would you clap? See, if I explain why it would be out of place for people to clap, I would give away the ending to the movie, and I'm going to try hard not to do that. But, you know, why would you clap?
Hey, he did.
What's wrong with you people?
Jeez.
Don and Mike show, hello.
Don and Mike, what's going on?
Hi.
Hey, you know this guy that dedicated this book to John Denver?
Yes, the guy who wrote the book about God.
Yeah, well, I think that it's probably something having to do with the movie, Oh God. Remember he was in that movie? And he was trying to preach the word for God. And
yes, I'm aware of that, but he didn't write anything like, I'm dedicating this book to John Denver because he was in the movie, Oh God.
And if you're going to dedicate the movie, you dedicate it to George Burns.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Yeah, he was God.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hello.
I want to be your new slave boy.
Oh, you do?
Yes, sir.
Well, what are your criteria for the position?
Well, I have a lazy eye like Rudy Marsky, if that helps.
Ooh, lazy eye's good.
Lazy eye.
Lazy eye's very good.
Which
I'm also a student at Columbia School of Broadcasting, like the former Donna.
Are you a goofy-looking guy?
Yeah, reasonably goofy-looking. I was picked on a lot as a kid.
All right. Are you a heavyweight?
No, I'm a lightweight. I just got a little bit of a beer gut. That's about it.
Let me say that it would really work in the favor of anyone who's tremendously overweight. That's we'd love to have another real overweight guy or gal in this position.
Overweight with a lazy eye. That would be front of the line.
All right. Hold the line a second. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Hi.
Totally agree with you on contact.
Ah, good. You're a good caller.
Keep him on the line.
Now we're getting some energy.
I'm surprised you didn't mention one thing, though.
What?
The most unbelievable part of that movie, Jodie Foster and her... leading man, if you get my drift.
Well, now listen, I don't know if Jodie Foster's a lesbian or not, which is what you're inferring here. I think that she's probably bi.
But didn't she look awfully uncomfortable? I don't know. It just...
Now, I think, I wish they would have shown you more of Jodie Foster's body, because there's one scene of her in bed. You know who I can do without is that Matthew what's his name?
Oh, yeah, I see. He is a slick e-boy.
Someone throw that guy off a bridge.
I saw him
right now.
I made the terrible mistake of watching those MTV awards, and he was up there. He won an award and was wearing this kind of, I'm trying to be hip look and chewing gum when he got up there, because I guess he was trying to go to the Generation Xers and go, hey, yeah, I'm Matthew McConaughey.
You know, I think he's got a little Mariah Carey in him, because I noticed that for most of the movie, they only photographed him from one angle.
Yeah,
yeah, I noticed that, too.
Only from the right side.
What did you think of the big payoff at the end without giving it away?
Mike, what did I tell you? I already told Mike off there. I said it was a waste.
What about the most cornball thing you've ever seen.
At least come up with an end. And do you believe this? Do you believe that people in Sacramento applauded that?
Well, I saw it in Reston, and they did the same thing.
They applauded at the end of the movie?
What's wrong with people?
What's wrong with
All right, thank you, my friend.
Okay, see you later.
All right, bye-bye. All right, well, that's good. See how much better the show goes when people just agree with what I have to say? That will be back in a moment, and I want to hear all about the latest O'Mara.
Oh, the latest O'Mara, who fortunately came home yesterday.
Yay. Okay, we'll be right back.
M-I-W-J-F-K. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What you do? Go to Rotterdam, then you go to Amsterdam, then you go down the road to my city. That's right. It's a little place called I Don't Give a Damn.
Making you laugh harder than Dave Thomas's arteries. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, we'll listen to some DJ tapes here in a second.
All right.
Also, buzz with news and comment. We'll talk to Elvis's stepbrother. All of that coming up in the next hour or so on the show. Before we get to your weekend, where is Robé, who should have an update for us on the scary-looking humanoid who's out front the radio station.
Hi. You might want to ask him in, maybe, if you're feeling daring.
Really? He looks like Curly from the Three Stooges.
Yeah, maybe from a distance he does. But yeah. I think his most fetching feature is the fact that his T-shirt has not only got holes in it, it's decaying all the way around. It looks like it's maybe got 4 hours left in it.
Why would I want that guy in here? What does he want?
He wants to be an intern. He says he's not currently enrolled in any college. And I said, then why are you here?
What a surprise that is, taking a look at him.
I said, why are you
college
here?
College of B.O.
That also.
But, yeah. Oh, he smells too?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, if you're feeling daring, have him in.
No, thanks.
No,
but he said he would enroll tomorrow at Nova.
Well, he can come on audition. I mean, he looks like he does have the look, at least from a distance.
Well, he
but
is.
But it's 100 degrees today, and you know what he's. If he smells bad out there, you know what he's going to smell like in here.
Even better.
Oh, you should just see him out there. He looks like Herman Munster walking back and forth in front of the station.
It's a hot day, and he's got those kind of jeans that are the new ones. You know, not the pre-washed variety. He's got the blue jeans, the dungarees on right now.
Well, I don't know. The more I look at him, I don't know. Let me think about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Let him work up a little more of a sweat.
Besides, I want to hear about Mike's new baby.
Yeah, the baby. The baby came home. I had a baby-rific weekend and logged a lot of time in the car because Friday night left here, went to the hospital, got back home, you know, chatted with my mom a little bit, who's taking care of the baby while Laura's recovering at home.
Is your mommy going to call during the show again today?
I hope not. And my mommy made me my sandwich today. I pointed that out to Don when I came in today. My mommy made a sandwich, and, you know, I normally
have... Well, it looks like a sandwich would make.
I was sitting there, and normally I'm on this little diet thing during the week where I eat a tuna sandwich in a pita, and Laura makes it, and it's a little pita with just a little tuna fish inside.
Your wife doesn't stuff it like your mother does.
No, she doesn't.
Don't take that out of context, but you know what I mean.
I picked up, she said, I made you a sandwich. I said, oh, thanks, Ma. You didn't have to do that. And she said, here is your sandwich. And she handed me what looks, you know, it's the same size pita pocket as the sandwich normally. She hands it to me, and it was like I was picking up an attaché case. It weighted my hand down, and I ate it, though. You know, you saw me in the office.
I saw you eat it.
Overstuffed, you know, too much mayonnaise in the tuna in the tuna salad, and I had a big shiny apple that my mommy, I think, actually washed for me.
Well, it was so funny. It was during a commercial break last week. I guess it was on Friday's show.
Yes, Friday's show during Low Budget Jeopardy, which, as anyone knows, is a very important part of the week to me.
Mm-hmm. Mike had to talk to his mommy during that, and he was not happy with his mommy because that's Mike's real hour to shine.
Yeah. That's my thing. That's my thing all week. I look forward to that Low Budget Jeopardy.
And mommy was calling him right in the middle of it to ask him some question.
And I was like Rupert Pupkin. You know, I was going, Mom, come on, it's going to be okay, Mom. But I will give my mom a compliment because I think that for a woman who is now 3 years shy of 80, she has been running up and down the stairs, doing everything. Wow. I mean, helping my wife out, because when you have a C-section, that's major surgery, and it's difficult for her to get around. And the problem is that my mom, as has always been the case as far as on holidays and stuff, even at her age, has more energy than I do, to the point where, you know, you're sitting there and you want to put your feet up on the couch for 1 second and the questions keep coming out. And she has this, do you want me to do that? I'll go upstairs. She wants that. I'm going to run. All right. I'm going to run downstairs right now. Catherine wants me. I'm going to go over here. Now, one thing I was thinking, Mom,
Mom, please stop it. I'm delighted that at a woman 77 years of age, you have all this energy, but please, my God, stop. Where do you get your energy?
I don't know where it comes from.
So your mommy was wearing you out?
My mommy has worn me out, and we would not be able... my mommy has been from God on this weekend. Yeah. She has helped us so much. I did not expect that we would need as much help as we have needed.
Just wait until mommy leaves, then you'll find out how much you really needed mommy.
I mean, it is... You know, that, I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking that, you know, you have another baby, and you forget everything when you have your first child. You completely forget what's involved, and now you have a two-year-old and a newborn, and it's just like, it's lots of, it's lots of fun. And having mom around is doing great, and I hope that she goes back to her home in Connecticut and takes a good long nap, because she's got to be, I think she's faking it. I catch her occasionally when she's like standing in the kitchen, and she'll give me one of those big you know, because you know me, I am not, as far as around the house, I have never prided myself on having the most tremendous work ethic. I really don't. I kind of tend to want to find the nearest receptacle for my buttocks and park it there, but you have to do it when you have to be the dad, and you have to do all the good things.
If your wife isn't there, then you have to.
Yeah.
Most of the weekend, your wife was still at the hospital,
She was still at the hospital. I left here Friday night, drove to the hospital, hung out with my wife until they kicked me out of there. Then I drove home. Had a nightcap with my mom, which is kind of cool. You know, my 77-year-old mom having her whatever she has, her tumbler full of whatever, and me having my beer, and then we chatted, and it was one of those deals where you should go.
Do
to
you need
sleep.
Your music?
No, not really. No, I only had one.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay, well,
it's two, maybe. No, I had three. When you
say bye, with your mom,
and she only had one. because when I'm talking to my mom, she can talk during one, and I can have four or five during that period of time. But the thing is, came back Friday, was so wired, you know, as exhausted as I was, and I don't think I was any more tired than I've ever been on Friday, because we were up at 4:45, and you know, the intensity of the emotion, and we were talking till probably about 11:30, and then I went up to sleep, and I watched TV till 2 in the morning, just going, father of two, so get up Saturday morning, drive into the hospital with Catherine, and this is the big moment. This is the moment. Catherine
saw the baby
saw
sister.
Friday morning, she had seen the baby at the hospital very briefly, but this was the period of adjustments, and you read all the books about sibling rivalry, and you have to be very delicate on how this was handled, and it was perfect. She hugged the baby. She actually, we stood over her, you know, around protectively around the two-year-old, and actually placed the baby in Catherine's lap
for
a very brief period of time. Mm-hmm. She leaned down and kissed the baby. As soon as that happened, we handed the baby back to Laura, and I said, that's it. We're out of here. That worked. It's fine. Okay, we're doing this. So I get the baby. I drive the baby back home. I drop the baby off with mom, who, I don't know, was changing transmissions in the car. So the painting, she was cleaning the gutters when I get back home. And I hung out there for a little bit. Then I drove back to the hospital. And then Sunday, I drove back into the hospital. And Sunday was the day that Eddie came out to play Ed Anger. Ed Anger. Well, you know, it's been a stressful week. It's been a little hot weather here in Washington, D.C.
Who was the recipient of your
the wonderful nurses at Fairfax Hospital who have done a wonderful job, of course some better than others, and the as far as the delivery, the doctor, Dr. Nyes, our doctor, who was fantastic, and all the people in the OR, no complaints. They were
Dr.
great.
Giggles.
Dr. Giggles was there. that's going to leave a mark. But it was they were fantastic. It was when the weekend, and I've always heard this about hospitals, you know, the weekend crew arrives and things, you just got to...
Well, look at what happens around here on a weekend when all the weekend disc jockeys come
in. I think it's the same thing in a hospital, you know. I think
you got your weekend doctors.
Sure. Apparently, what was nice was there was another Ed Anger one room down who, at one point, the nurses were around the station and they were having some sort of happy talk story, and just, you know, it got louder and louder and louder, and then the father apparently came out and said, there are mothers and children trying to rest on this floor. And so I was not the eddest. It's just...
Not the biggest jerk.
I wasn't the biggest jerk, but here's the way I approached the situation. I walked in there, I saw the attitude, and it was okay. They're, you know, not bad, but it was one of those situations where I said to myself, I could be nice and wait, or I could be just full frontal and get stuff done right away. Like, for example, taking the IV out of my wife's arm, which, you know, she said, I said, well, when did you ask? Well, about 3 hours ago. And, you know, Laura's pretty cool on stuff like this. And I said, you know, so I went out and said, in a very nice way, of course, I said, "Could you think you could get that IV taken out of her arm?" You know, because it's very difficult. It's difficult enough to walk when you've had a C-section, mm-hmm. but when you've got a, you know, they haven't changed the technology on those little IV racks right. since Young Frankenstein. So she's
that's Frankenstein, Mike.
Frankenstein. She's got to hold, you know, haul this metal thing. So. Miracle of miracles, 5 minutes after I asked in my really nice way, they came in, and it was the same way.
Well, you're a nice guy.
I am a nice guy, and yeah. I got it done the nice way. It was the same thing with getting her discharged and getting the. They had to do a couple of little tests on the baby to make sure the baby was uh-huh. A-okay,
right.
and she had asked for that about 4 hours earlier, and no one had come by, and so it was the same thing. I asked very nicely if they would... you know, get those tests done and get the results to us. And lo and behold, about 25 minutes later, they came in and said, the blood tests are back. Your baby can go home.
All it took was you just being a little bit of a nicer guy.
You know, I found really, the older I get, Don, I'm sure you know this is true, the nicer guy you are, mm-hmm. if you're really, really nice and you wait, and you don't waste any time at all being mean, if you're really nice right from the beginning, sometimes you don't have to go through any of the you know any of the stuff you'd have to wait for being a mean guy.
True.
So we came home. The baby is doing great.
Great.
6 pounds, 8 ounces. It's still, you know, you pick up this little creature, and it's great. And I actually got a reasonable amount of sleep. So did the baby. So did my wife. I'm sure that won't
last. Not your mom. Your mom was up, of course.
No, my mom was not. She wasn't sleeping in the house. I had her actually, the driveway is getting a little... you know, rough around the edges, so I had her resurfacing the driveway last night. Yeah. You know that tar they put on, you know, the little thin coat?
Yeah.
Sealant, that's what it, the driveway sealant. Right. You can buy it at the Home Depot. You can get the big gallons.
You have your mommy out there doing that for you.
I wanted to wait till the sun goes down because it's a hot sun, so I had her do that last night. She finished up about 3 or 4 o'clock this morning.
You're a good boy.
Yeah, well, my mommy's very nice, and I really appreciate that overstuffed sandwich that you made, and I hope I get... She goes back tomorrow. We take her to the airport tomorrow.
That I look forward to Wednesday's show.
Yes, Wednesday.
First night without mommy.
Wednesday when I come going,
glad everything's okay at home.
Hi, Elizabeth, Emma, daddy loves you. There you go.
We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.